If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry joins me live from Tampa, Florida to recap the huge Raw reunion show. We'll break down the segments that worked, the segments that didn't work, and all the legends from the big family reunion, as Stone Cold Steve Austin called it. Speaking of Stone Cold Steve Austin, the Texas Rattlesnake closed the show with a bang and a lot of beer. Mark and I discuss why Stone Cold is the last of a dying breed when it comes to superstars in the pro wrestling business. The WWE gave Seth Rollins the ball last night in multiple segments with The Miz and Paul Heyman, and then later in a match versus AJ Styles where he was joined by D-Generation X and the NWO. But did Rollins make the best of his opportunity? Plus, Becky Lynch has been a hot topic on this show recently ahead of her match with Natalya at SummerSlam. We'll talk about why this is a marquee matchup this August and get Mark Henry's insight on the Becky Lynch character from the man herself. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. You had the toast in the middle of the ring last night.
Oh, yeah.
You had the water instead of the beer. Stone Cold flipped you off, and then he gave you a little bit of beer. In general, and, you know, we spoke, obviously you were a guest on the show yesterday, and got to speak with you secondhand with our good friend Derek Brooks in the afternoon before Raw. But tell us and fill in the fans about the whole experience from yesterday afternoon until last night.
You know what,
night.
Dave? Like, it was a really, really good experience. It was like a family reunion. You know, there was a couple of people that didn't agree. It didn't break out into a fight or nothing or an argument, but there was a couple of times where there were stories that people said, no, that's not the way it went. And, you know, that kind of thing. But, man, I got to see so many people, man, that I hadn't seen in a long, long time. And, you know, I think the highlights of my conversations was Derek Brooks talking to him. And I'm going to go and speak to USF football team after the show today. Charlie Strong is a good friend of mine, and BJ, the offense coordinator. So I'm like going to go and do that. My conversation with Becky Lynch. Spoiler alert. Well, guys, in the second hour of this show, we're going to talk about my conversation with Becky Lynch.
Mark, I love the tease. USOB, you're going to make us wait.
I'm going to make you wait an hour, guys.
I love it. Who else did you bump into last night?
Man, just Ron Simmons and, you know, like just sitting and talking to Pat Patterson. Pat Patterson, man, is a savant. He's a genius when it comes to this business. And I told him, I said, why are you dodging us? We've tried to have you on the show for 10 times, and, you know, you keep ghosting us. I'm not the dodging. I'm like, come on, Pat. Like, man, come. Dave is like a super fan. Like, there's stuff that he can ask you from a fan perspective that I just can't do. And he's like, I'm going to come on the show. I'm going to come on the show. And are you going to be in Montreal? And I said, Montreal? Toronto. Oh, yeah, to Toronto. It was hilarious. He thought we were going to Montreal for SummerSlam. But you know what? And also, there were a lot of celebrities in the back, people that, you know, musicians and MMA fighters. And I mean, it was just like, it was like WrestleMania. But the biggest thing, the setup, they had a lounge set up with all these big comfortable chairs and fruit and drinks and all kind of stuff set up in the lounge for the legends. It was called the Legends Lounge. And they never done nothing like that at WrestleMania before. I mean, it rivaled WrestleMania as far as the presentation and the setup. And if you can visualize this, you walk in a door and there's a table with all these fruit bowls and carrots and celery and dips and drinks and all kinds of potato chips of every brand, a little dessert plat like a tower. Mm-hmm. And then you see, like, just from the 20 yards of big couches with little tables with tablecloths on them and welcome signs. Like, I'm like, man, this is some VIP type stuff. I've never experienced that. So they did it really, really well. They did a really good job of making everybody feel at home and comfortable.
So they really rolled out the red carpet for the returning legends last night. Huh?
Yeah, man, it was like a VIP situation. And at one point, people started, you know, getting dressed for the show. Mm-hmm. And I honestly thought that, how should I say this? The boogeyman came in with this black mask on and a hat. Like, you couldn't see his face. And he started getting dressed. He took off his suit. And, you know, it was co-ed. Like, there's like a bunch of women, like Candace Michelle and Barbie, Kelly and, I mean, Eve Torres. And that was another good one to meet, Eve Torres. I love her. She was really, really cool. And I was like, hey, Mr. Boogeyman, you're gonna take your pants off? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. Ladies, y'all might want to leave. It was great, man. It was just like, it was an unbelievable weekend.
Well, you mentioned that it's like family, and it was a reunion. So it's like a family reunion. And like you said, you have relatives that you haven't seen in a long time. You have the crazy relative, and you have the relatives that may have a little too much, that make an ass out of themselves. We talked about possible people embarrassing themselves at the hotel before Raw reunion, and you came on with us yesterday, and you said that really didn't happen. Did anybody overextend themselves last night at the Raw reunion?
Ric Flair, the doctor gave him a clean bill of health and said, hey, it wasn't the alcohol, it was your heart. And he got that fixed, and him and Steve Austin got lit. I mean, Ric Flair, he did everything but to take your clothes off. He danced in the bar. You know, he did the whole Nate thing. It was pretty damn special, man. It was pretty special. I'm glad I got to see that again.
I'm trying to picture it, because just coming off of last night, well, obviously we're going to get into the show from beginning to end. But you saying, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Ric Flair together, like, that's like a wrestling fan's dream. To be able to see those two legends, like we talk about the Mount Rushmore, those are two guys that are definitely on that. To see them together, even for you, Mark, I mean, as a performer, as a Hall of Famer, but just as a fan, to see some of these guys, to see those two guys together, that must have been a thrill last night.
It was, man, and breaking news.
Ooh, breaking news. Do we have the breaking news sound or gap? Mr. Henry, it's yours.
Yes, we are going to have Booker T on Friday.
Ooh, Booker T.
And
for
we
Friday.
Are going to talk about him being number 7 on my list, in which he was like, number 7? Number 7? I mean, at least number 5. And I was like, Book, you're number 7. You're going to have to break that down to me, because you know, and I was like, do you know who Jim Mitchell is? Who? I said, Jim Mitchell. Okay, exactly. There's a lot that we need to talk about. So Friday, another tease, Booker T on Friday. We're going to talk about the top 10 African-American wrestlers. It's not going to be an entire show. It's going to be a little small segment. and just to straighten Mr. Booker T out.
Well, I just to remind you, Mark, I mean, he was number 7 on your list, but Alex Metz, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Booker T was number 5 on my list. So he made top 5
God.
On my list.
Please tell me that.
And in fact, I believe Mark Henry was number 6 on your list, Dave.
Is that right?
I believe so. I'm going to let me double check that.
You may want to double check that. Thanks, Alex Metz.
I told Booker, I was like, I didn't put myself on the list.
Well, that's ridiculous.
And he was like, come on, man. I was like, no, I didn't put myself on the list. He was like, I would have put myself number 1. And
that's
I was like, I know you would.
That's ridiculous.
You can't put yourself number 1?
You put yourself number 1?
Over Bobo Brazil and Ernie Ladd and Ron Simmons and Jim Mitchell?
Well, he didn't even know who Jim Mitchell was.
Well, exactly. So,
yeah, I nailed it. Mark Henry on Dave's list was number 6, Booker T number 5.
So he's in my top 5. You're in my top 10, Mark.
So you know what? He's going to tell me, see, that's who you need to listen to. You need to listen to Dave LaGreca because he knows his shit. That's a Booker T classic right there.
Where did I have Jim Mitchell on my list, Alex? Did I have Jim Mitchell high on
number
my
8.
List? Number 8.
Number 8.
I put Booker over Jim Mitchell.
Where was Bobo Brazil on that?
Dave had Bobo at 2. You had Bobo at 3.
Okay.
You know what I think we should do? I'm going to send these lists to you guys, and so you can kind of like revisit them throughout the week, and then maybe we can talk about when Booker comes on Friday. If there's anything looking back now, you would change.
Okay.
All,
I mean, that's pretty – if you maybe tweet those out.
Yeah,
maybe tweet
sure.
out our list again so that the nation get familiar with them by the time we have Booker T on Friday. Because that could be a real, that could be, you know what? It's going to be a fun segment, but you know what? That's like, that would be an educational segment as well.
And also, our friends over at SiriusXM Boxing, at the fights, our good friend Jerry Cooney, they ran into Booker T at the Big Thurman fight over the weekend.
Yeah, he was telling me about it. Yeah. And what do y'all think about that? I know we're a wrestling show, but, you know, Pacquiao being, you know, 40 plus years old, coming back, and I mean, did you see the fight? He ate a couple of punches that would have put most people on their butt. And I don't understand how that happens. Like, how did he win that fight? He just beat this boy unmercifully. It was 10-8 in the first round.
I think some guys, Mark, I think with boxing, you just have to be okay with getting hit. Because some people, you know, and I'm sure you know in your industry, some guys just don't like getting hit. They don't like feeling the pain.
True.
I think some of these guys, they just, it doesn't bother them.
And, you know, this isn't the first time. George Foreman, remember when he made his comeback, he was over 40, and he had some of the best fights of his career after the age of 40. So
that's true.
We've seen that before in boxing. Obviously, we see that in pro wrestling. So it's cool catching up. I'm glad you're able to run into Derrick Brooks. Have you met Derrick Brooks before that, right?
Oh, yeah, many times. He's been around. For at least the last 15 years or 10 years, anytime we were in Tampa or Orlando, he was at the shows.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Man, that was one hell of an end last night with Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mark.
Man, it was, and You people forget how polarizing Steve Austin was. And Alex made the comment when I made my list of the all-time greatest wrestlers that I didn't have Steve Austin high enough. And I'm thinking that Alex was right. I may have to evaluate my list on that list too and move Steve Austin up.
Yeah, he's one of the greats. I mean, he's without a doubt, you know, to me, he's top 3. You know, some people might put him number 1 based on the box office numbers when he was at his height. When you look at the late 90s, early 2000s, when he was that era. So it's such a special time. I mean, that's the blessing of the WWE Network. You go back to some of those pay-per-views with Stone Cold and how you just hear that glass and the place would go absolutely nuts. Last night, perfect example. You know, there's ebbs and flows to a three-hour show, but when you heard that glass shatter, that whole place was on their feet last night.
Dave, three of the people that we consider to be in the top five or top ten were on that stage.
Yep.
And when Flair came out, crazy. The crowd went nuts. Hogan came out. The crowd, they erupted. But when Steve came out, brother, it was continuous. It was that Undertaker continuous loud where people are roaring. It's like a you could hear a train coming. Just, it was just unreal. That rock concert loud. And Steve is different. And I'm going to have to do some reevaluating because his reaction, and even from the wrestlers, if you look at the talent on the stage, like people were jumping up and down and clapping and stuff. I mean, we love Ric Flair and Hogan for who they were in wrestling, but Steve, it was different. And I was just, I mean, I'm sitting here like babbling, like, I can't explain it.
Well, to me, those are your three. You bring up Flair, Hogan, and Stone Cold. Those are my top three right there. And you know what, Mark? What you said, it's kind of sad, but at the same time, it's the truth. You said, you know, you appreciate Hogan and Flair for who they were. When you see Hogan and you see Ric Flair, all those memories come flooding back about, you know, when they were on top, when they were in their prime. And, you know, I still consider Ric Flair to be the greatest of all time. Hogan's probably the biggest star when it comes to pro wrestling. And then Stone Cold is right up there. But when it comes to Stone Cold, Mark, when you see him in the ring, when you see him climb up to that second rope and throw those middle fingers up, when he's got the beard, it's like the last 20 years just disappear. Like, he still looks like he's in his prime. Like, he still looks like he can do it. He still looks like he could be champ. And you know what? And current roster included, what Stone Cold did last night, he schooled everybody.
Yeah, he did.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And we'll go through like the Seth Rollins and, you know, the AJ Styles and everybody, the highs and lows from last night. What Stone Cold Steve Austin, he said, man, I don't care if I'm not wrestling. I don't care if I'm not a champion. I don't care if I'm gone for years. I'm still the top dog when it comes to the WWE.
And you know what? Who can argue after last night? Who can argue? I mean, if Steve Austin did not have a severe neck injury, he would still be around, I think. I think he would still be at the top of the game. Same thing with The Rock. I mean, you look at Triple H. Triple H is another one. He's still able to garner the attention of the world as it relates to pro wrestling. He looks the part, he works the part, and he can talk the part. So, I mean, like, our elite, our greatest, not much has changed. It's just, you know, you get older and you have a serious injury and, you know, you got to bow out.
Yeah, and he had one. And, man, but he's still, like, you talk about a guy that early in his career they said couldn't cut a promo, wasn't good on the microphone. Probably the greatest, you know, next to Ric Flair, probably the greatest ever on the microphone.
And The Rock.
And The Rock, like, just
flip a coin, a three-sided die.
Let me ask you something, Mark. Alex Metz, our producer, asked me this question before the show, and it stopped me on the dime. Who would have gotten a better reaction last night, The Rock or Stone Cold?
After being there last night? Man, I don't know. I think that if The Rock would have came through that door, him and Steve would have, and him and Steve toast, I think it would have been equal. I think it would have been one just straight up. I mean, it's only so loud. People in the crowd might start passing out. You put them two in the ring together? Gee.
I'm talking announced, advertised stars. Just Austin, we knew Austin was going to be there leading up to this event. You advertised The Rock for that night. The only reason I would maybe give The Rock the edge is the Florida connection.
That's a really good point. The Florida connection, and then again, The Rock supersedes pro wrestling. I mean, The Rock is the biggest box office movie star right now. But I'm talking in the walls of for us in pro wrestling. Like, if you announce, hey, The Rock is going to be there, Stone Cold is going to be there, I'd wonder who would get the bigger reaction. I think Mark might be right. I think it would be even.
I think it would be even. I don't think that one has an advantage over the other, not with our fans. I think if it was unannounced and The Rock just showed up as a surprise, then he might get Steve. But that would be anything. If Rock would have been announced and Steve would have been the one that was surprised, then Steve would have blew the roof off.
Yeah. You're right. If one wasn't announced, they would definitely get that surprise and that kind of reaction. I'll say this too, Mark, and obviously you being there, being in the ring with it. I mean, you're mere feet away from Stone Cold as this whole thing was going on. You know how he had that microphone in his hand and had the command of that crowd there. He had that crowd eating out of his hand. Like,
oh yeah,
it was just amazing. And you know. And today we're going to kind of dissect the show. What were the good segments? What were the bad segments? What could they have done better?
And the misses, if you will.
And you're absolutely right. But man, just watching that as a, it was like I was a kid again. Like it was like I was back in college, you know, watching the WWE, watching the Attitude Era, and like seeing Stone Cold. It was like, man, it just, I went to bed last night. I turned off that show. I went to bed last night with the biggest smile on my face because of those last 10 minutes we saw last night. You could take the 2 hours and 50 minutes before that. You give me that last 10 minutes. That's all I needed to see. I went to bed with a big smile on my face last night.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
We know that former Universal Champion Seth Rollins is a talent. And we talk about, you know, getting the current roster more over or to that next plateau with the returning legends from last night. And they had Seth Rollins in two segments last night. Two significant segments, if you ask me, last night. They had first his segment on Miz TV and then the other segment, as Izzy brought up, with the OC and with NWO and DX. The first segment was with Miz TV, and let's go back, courtesy of WWE.com, with Seth Rollins on Miz TV.
Miz, what's funny is that you called the biggest match of my life a predicament. Look, hey, I get it. It's Brock Lesnar. All right, let me do that again. It's Brock Lesnar! Brock Lesnar! Right? I mean, it's Brock Lesnar. He's like this big thing, and he's on your TV screen, and he's got this big old face on him, and he's got these beady little eyes, and these gritty little teeth, and his big red head, and he's a real Godzilla looking, if you ask me.
Seth Rollins, face of the company.
Kind of lowbrow.
A little bit of everything in that little piece of audio. Little lowbrow.
What were they trying to do with that?
I have no idea. The whole Brock Lesnar was a little bit too much and over the top, that, you know, and that big thing and especially, the red eyes.
Especially,
like,
somebody that beat you. Now, if you beat me, I'm not going to make light of it. I don't think that it's proper to have somebody that's a champion. And Seth is a champion, so you can't trivialize him. That was not my favorite moment of the show. It wasn't. And I would consider that a miss.
Yeah.
I would like for him to say Brock Lesnar is the luckiest guy alive, winning the Money in the Bank briefcase and being able to get me at a deficit, being able to get me at a low moment. If I had the briefcase, I would go right to the front before the show even started, and I would demand a match, and that's how I would do it. I wouldn't do it after he was beat up and he was laying on the ground and I'd stomp him and I'd pin him. That's just the easy way. But that's what you do with the champion. I mean, you do with the face of the company. I'm just saying.
I just, the poking fun and the name calling, and it just doesn't work. Kind of goes back, and I know in a little bit we're going to talk about your conversation that you had with Becky Lynch. But it kind of goes back to the conversation that we had on Friday about Becky Lynch. You know, it's that, you know, you talk about arrogance and then, you know, people getting upset about that's more confidence than arrogance and everything else. That you, in your opinion, and honestly, after last night, a lot of people online agreeing with your comment about Becky Lynch and the arrogance. Like, that's how Seth came across last night. Like, you know, Seth is supposed to be this returning hero, now getting another opportunity to win back that championship, which was his. First of all, Brock didn't do anything wrong by cashing in that Money in the Bank briefcase. You should have expected it. That's number one. Number two, you know what? Making fun and poking fun isn't going to get any sympathy from your audience.
No, and it's not going to make people forget that you lost.
You're right. And at the end of the day, that's the biggest difference between Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. Becky Lynch is still holding on to a championship. Seth Rollins has no championship. So, you know what? Better off, like, you can either go the route that you're saying that, hey, you know what? I was always a man. I always stood face to face with you. I always told you when I was going to be there and when I was going to challenge you. And then you didn't have the courtesy to do that to me.
Right.
But fine, we're going to meet at SummerSlam and I'm going to get that championship back. Or you say, you know what, Brock? You beat me. You got me. You bested me. You took advantage of a situation. I let it happen. That's on me. I can't wait to get another opportunity to get my Universal Championship back at SummerSlam. That's how you do it. But poking fun, making fun of Brock and like making fun of Paul Heyman, that does absolutely nothing for me. And on top of that, when you see like what Stone Cold Steve Austin was able to do on the mic last night and what some of these returning legends were able to do on the mic last night. Man, and what you did when given the opportunity, that's a fail right there. That's Seth Rollins failed. And you know, Mark, you and especially myself, I have been on the fence when it comes to Seth Rollins. You know, there are times where I've come on the air and I said, you know what? I just don't look at him as a champion. I just don't look at him as a face of this show. There were times he was starting to win me over. But, man, seeing him last night, man, I have no interest in him challenging Brock Lesnar for that Universal Championship at SummerSlam. Got to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I don't think that I'm going to let one show, and God, I can't believe I'm disagreeing again. Maybe the fans had an influence on me.
I think it is. I think it's the fans. You're letting the fans influence
you. I can't agree,
you.
Dave, with not being interested in seeing that match because I did not like that Miz TV segment. Not because of Miz, but because Seth was not the Seth that I was used to seeing. I like that passionate Seth that wants to kick your ass. Like, that's the guy that, you know, a babyface that is not arrogant. A babyface that's like, look, this is the case. He took my title. And when I see him in Toronto, I'm going to take it back. I'm going to stomp that big melon into the ring. And then I'm going to pin him 1, 2, 3. and I will be champion again. And that's the endearing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, poking fun and all of that, like, that's not him.
Yeah, you know what? That's not him, and it shouldn't be him. That's a great quote, Mark. That's not him. And then they followed up, and Seth had another chance out there. And he's in the ring with, you know, the NWO and DX and OC, and he's out there. And listen, I didn't think he was awful in that segment, but they gave him the mic. DX handed him the mic, and it was very, very telling. When they handed the mic to Seth Rollins, you heard groans from that Tampa crowd. If you're the face of the franchise, if you're trying to be the champion, if you're trying to rally the fans around you, and you're given an opportunity where a legend is handing you a microphone and giving you that showcase, and you get groans from the crowd, to me, Mark, that's very, very telling what that Tampa crowd thought of Seth Rollins last night.
You know what? Is it that the crowd groaned what he said, or is it the situation that they groaned?
Maybe it's a situation. But if there's a guy that they're 100% behind, the crowd's going to act differently. And listen, I'm not saying that Seth Rollins is not popular. When he walks out, everybody chants "Burn it down." You know, they love his music. They love his entrance. Seth Rollins is phenomenal in the ring, and we've seen better from Seth Rollins. There's no doubt about it. I just thought Seth went about things last night in the wrong way, but it goes back to the same conversation we had on Friday about Becky. When it comes to somebody you want to get behind, there's a fine line between arrogance and confidence. I think we can have that discussion when it comes to Becky about, is that arrogance or is that confidence? When it comes to Seth, last night especially, that was just plain and simple arrogance with Seth Rollins last night.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what the nation thinks right now. Like, this is one of those that I want to hear somebody else's opinion, because we have ours.
Yeah, let's go out to the nation. Let's go out to Moose in New York. Moose, what did you think of Seth Rollins last night?
The problem with Seth Rollins right now is that the Seth Rollins that was chasing the title to beat Brock Lesnar is not the Seth Rollins we're getting now. He worked his ass off. He did the marathon matches. He was the best wrestler going in the company, and that's not what we're getting right now. We got low blow shots to win the title from Lesnar. We got protect yourself with a chair, protect yourself with your girlfriend. You know, and even he had kendo stick in his hand when Lesnar went to cash in on him. I thought he was going to blow the cash in because he had weaponry in his hand with Becky Lynch around the ringside area. Lesnar told him he was going to cash in. Lesnar's music hits. He's there, and somehow he still loses when he's surrounded by weaponry in the ring. He's not endearing. He's not the face that you want right now. He's not the voice that you want right now. And one of your callers a couple weeks ago said his tone for what he says and how he says it just sounds like a heel, and we're not getting behind it.
Moose, good call. And
thank you, Moose.
And thanks for reminding us, too. He's right. To win that title, we saw low blows. We saw him use a chair. The arrogance on the microphone. I mean, not exactly that attitude that you usually get from somebody you want to get behind as a face, Mark.
But we also were talking about him having an edge and being somebody that you were afraid of, that was kind of had a loose screw, mm-hmm. and they succeeded in giving him that. They just didn't allow him to keep it.
And I think because they brought that story with him and Becky onto TV, and that's how he lost his focus, and that's something that they never brought up again. I mean, the reason that Seth Rollins lost that Universal Championship to Brock Lesnar was the cash-in, but he lost focus because his full attention was on Baron Corbin, and we can understand that. He had just given the end of days to Becky Lynch's girlfriend. That's what any man would do in that situation. But because of that, he lost focus, and for whatever reason, they've never brought that back up on TV, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right.
All right, let's go back
out. Let's get another one.
Yeah, you got it. Let's go out to Tokyo Ocean in South Florida. Tokyo Ocean in South Florida. What did you think of Seth last night, Tokyo Ocean? Or should I say Mr. Ocean?
What's up, guys? I have to say I respect your guys' opinion completely. You guys are great. Obviously, you're the professionals. But I have to disagree when it comes to the Seth thing. I think this is a little bit of seeing things from the other side, not seeing things from one side the other. Wrestling fans can be a bit fickle. We know that. Sometimes they think they know what they want, and they get what they want. Then they don't know what they want. They cheer, they boo, they're not sure. With Seth, I think him and Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose were the company line guys. Dean obviously rebelled against that in a big way. But these are the guys that go out day in. They're in the house shows all the time. They're doing everything that Vince wants them to do. And a lot of this that we're critiquing on is all production storyline stuff. So we're supposed to suspend our disbelief and all that good stuff. But then obviously with the internet and everything, Vince loves to bring that real life drama in. If you're in a relationship with one of the wrestlers and it gets popular and it gets out there, you better believe it's going to be put in a storyline. So at this point in time, it's weird to me because when Seth was the bad guy, everyone wanted him to be the good guy. He had the 24-hour special. They're like, man, if they marketed Seth as a face, he'd be so huge. They market him as a face. Ah, he needs that edge. He gets an edge. Ah, he's too cocky. He humbles down. He needs the edge. It's almost like some of these guys can't win no matter what they do until they go out to the indies and come back. So for me, I respectfully disagree. I'll take the comments off the air. You guys are awesome. Great show today.
Tokyo, don't hang up yet because you bring up a really good point. And it's very difficult, Mark, and I think you would agree in this era of pro wrestling to not factor in what these wrestlers are like outside of the ring. And I think the WWE Network with the 24 special and the 365 specials that they have, you're getting to see these wrestlers in a way that we never saw growing up, Mark. I mean, all we saw was what was presented on TV. And and Tokyo, it's a really good call in this respect. When Mark and I are talking about what we saw from last night, we're obviously talking about what we saw on TV. Now you're talking about, well, that's creative. That's not really how Seth feels. It's such a dicey situation when you talk about these things because obviously Mark is a Hall of Famer, has been there, done that, but he also knows a lot of these people on a personal level. And then for me as a fan, and you as a fan, Tokyo, like you can't just judge it from what you see on TV because the WWE gives you insight of what these people are really like outside the ring. And Tokyo, and tell me if I'm wrong by judging your phone call, I think that's what you're saying, that it's you can't just judge by what you see on a three-hour Monday Night Raw anymore.
Exactly, because there's so many factors. And just one more point is, remember, this is the guy that broke up the Shield. This was like Shawn Michaels throwing Marty Jannetty through the window when he took that steel chair to the Shield. He dismantled it. He was the most hated guy in the world when he did that. And then they did that 24-hour special, and everyone's like, look at this guy. He's a great guy. He's at home with his dog. He plays video games just like me and you, his mom and dad, small-town guy. He had a portal on his wall to Rob Van Dam's house. That's the most wholesome fucking thing I've ever seen. You loved the guy. Then they make him wholesome. You want him edgy. That's what I'm trying to say. It's very hard because we get this insight to the people, and we get these behind-the-scenes things, and it's very hard. They say turn you up to 11, but it's hard when they want you to go the other way when we've already seen them turned up to 11.
Tokyo Ocean, that's a really good call. That's a great call.
Wow, good job, man.
That's a really good job because, man, it's so hard, and that's why, Mark, it's so hard to build a heel and even on the flip side, build a face in 2019 if you're a part of the WWE. It's very, very difficult. You know who does a great job, like who's a heel that, you know, I talk here, I think I love what he does. I love him as a heel. He's somebody I want to boo every time I see him, is Baron Corbin. Why? Because we really don't know Baron Corbin that well outside of the ring. You know, we kind of just judge Baron Corbin by what we see on TV. But when you really get an insight, Alexa Bliss is another one. I just watched that 365 with Alexa Bliss. Very difficult for me now to boo Alexa Bliss and to hate Alexa Bliss because
yeah,
I just watching
stuff
that.
She went through.
I mean, and I'm watching that with my wife, and my wife actually said it to me. She's like, "How am I supposed to hate that? I hated Alexa Bliss. Now I love her." It's so difficult. Really good phone call by Tokyo Ocean today.
What are we going to have? We have to start giving an award for people to have really good calls, like a bell or something, or a round of applause reel or something, because that was a good call, and I wanted to just give him a clap up or ring the bell or something.
How about we just say, you know, that was a good call?
Good call.
We just say, you know okay. what? Good call, Tokyo Ocean.
Just screw him then. All right, Dave.
Freaking award.
Our first disagreement is spawned by the fact that the crowd, all the Twitter puppets always talk about all we do is agree.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Speaking of people who are extremely talented, Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is a big conversation piece here on the show. Obviously, after Friday, the uproar on social media. I actually had a rant, Mark, while you were off yesterday, you know, going to Tampa for the Raw reunion on, like, just the internet fans that were killing me on social media about the discussion that we had on Friday, the whole arrogance and confidence discussion when it came to Becky Lynch. Did you have a chance to speak to Becky at the Raw reunion last night?
I did. And, you know, we sat and talked for about 20 minutes or so and about philosophy and about where to and how to and the arrogance. And we talked about when she first came on the show, and I paraphrased kind of like what she said, and it was related to the fact that people complain about carrying a title and being champion, how much work is involved in it, and what are you doing, how little time you have to yourself. And she said, I just really revel in the fact that I get to be asked to go do the morning shows, that I'm asked to wake up at 6 o'clock and go do the early morning TV shows. And I will carry that load to the end of time. I never want to lose this title. That promo is a babyface promo.
Mm-hmm.
That is, and it wasn't a promo. She was saying that from her heart, that's truly how she felt and how much she loved this business. And then I said, so you look at your promos lately, the things that you've said and how you've said them. And that's where I came up with that conclusion that you're more heel right now than babyface. And she said, you know what? I don't really see myself as a babyface or a heel. I do realize that I've been more aggressive lately, and I think it's a defense mechanism. And she said this, and I said, well, I'm not coming across as somebody that's trying to paint you in a negative light. I'm just saying, from a character standpoint, I see you being more aggressive. And she said, you're right. I have been. And I'm hoping that, you know, this is something that is going to be necessary because I'm going into hostile territory. And rather than sit back, I'm taking the fight to her. And it is more aggressive. It is more arrogant. But that's what I'm going to need, I think. And I was like, as long as you give back to the fans and acknowledge them that they're the reason that you are who you are, you'll always be a babyface, regardless of the spurts where you turn it up and become more aggressive. And she said, you're exactly right. And there was no, she was like, I hope you know that my tweets and the stuff are in response to the man and not Becky Lynch. And I was like, you don't have to do that. I was like, don't worry. I'm not sensitive. And I said, people on the social media that think they know more than me, and they're the ones that's sensitive because they love you and, you know, you're an extension of them, even though they don't know you. And she said, yeah, I understand. So that was our conversation.
And you know what? Like, and I love the conversation. And Mark, thank you so much for sharing that conversation because you didn't need to do that. So,
and I asked her, could I talk about it today? Because if she didn't want to, I wouldn't have brought it up. She said it was okay.
And I appreciate you sharing it because the one thing that I've learned over the last few days is hearing both sides.
Yeah, you got to listen to both sides.
Yeah, and she, man, one thing, you know, whether they're over the top or not, she has a hardcore fan base that loves everything she's doing right now.
Yeah, even if it's bad.
Yes.
Even if she's the aggressor, they love it because she's tough. And she's showing gumption, and I understand it. But I know pork when I taste it. She was being aggressive.
Now, I say I talked about both sides. Last night on social media, even some fan forums that I was reading, after her exchange with Natalia last night, a lot of people were agreeing with your stance that you had on Friday. So courtesy of WWE.com, let's listen into what we saw on the Raw reunion between Becky Lynch and Natalia.
Yeah, Natty, we did fight together in Japan. But when I finally made it here, you tried to cut the legs out from under me before I could even find my feet. Now, you even volunteered to train Ronda Rousey to try and help beat me in the main event of WrestleMania. But I got this from your little MMA pal. This red belt right here, this is the scalp of the baddest woman in the planet. And after SummerSlam, I'll still be carrying it after I embarrass you in your home country.
Now, really strong promo from Becky Lynch, and you could understand why she has legions of fans by what she said. But at the same token, from what you've been saying, Mark, like, that was, you know, very healing. I mean, she's talking to Natalia, and I understand Natalia trained or tried to help out Ronda Rousey. But I think everybody knows that Natalia is somebody that's been with the company a long time, just lost her father not too long ago. And yes, this championship match is something that she didn't get a lot of. You talk about, you know, women that have been overlooked in that division, Natalia is one of them. And she's getting an opportunity in her home country. And when Becky Lynch says, I want to embarrass you in your home country. Again, that comes off kind of heelish, if you ask me.
And people on social media acknowledge that.
Yep.
Because they see what I'm talking about now. And it's not a knock on her. It's not negative. And we talk about that edge that you put on a talent. That edge is not just for men. That edge is for everybody. Every wrestler. I said, yeah. She is a wrestler. She is. I don't classify her as a female wrestler or a male wrestler. She is a wrestler. So, of course, she's not exempt from anger, from vengeance, from feeling like that she's painted into a corner. That's the worst animal in the world, a wounded one or one that's backed into a corner. And that's where she is. She's going into Toronto. In Natalia's home court, and she is defending herself out of the corner. So I can see it, but I saw it for the last 9 months. And I think that as a babyface, as a fan favorite, if you will, you have to be able to say, listen, guys, I appreciate you for choosing me to be who I am. I love every minute that I'm out here because I get to perform for you. But some days I have to put the respect and the uplifting thoughts away so I could go out and do my job and maintain and hold this title. And it's not always pretty. and I'm going to get a little nasty with Natalya.
And I'll tell you what, that short exchange, and listen, they didn't get a lot of time last night, Natalya and Becky Lynch, but they made the most of that time together. I am jacked for that match at SummerSlam.
And I would not be surprised if that title changes hands and then goes back, because it just makes sense. It's one of those cases. You're not gonna lose anything. You're not going to diminish anything with a title change, especially if Monday you go right back and you win it back.
Yep.
So, I mean, get ready for some really good entertainment at SummerSlam.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.